Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back. So we're fresh off the US PGA, and a brilliant one it was too. Brooks Koepka winning at Bellerive, but Shane Lowry was right in the mix. In the end, tied for 12th. Could have been much better. Two late bogeys, but it was a brilliant week, and it's the third brilliant week in a row for Shane as he tries to win back his US PGA Tour card for next year. He's got 1 week to do it, and he's joined us on the line now. He's at the you're at the Wyndham Championship, Shane, this week, so you're in North Carolina?
I am, Joe, yeah. I just arrived at the golf club, so here in Greensboro.
You sound excited.
I'm very excited.
I guess you must be a bit tired. I mean, what a roller coaster couple of weeks, and not least, sometime around the 12th and 13th on Sunday at Bellerive when you go birdie-birdie and you're right in the teeth of that championship. What an amazing couple of days.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, like, I know I didn't have the finish that I really would have wanted, but looking back, and it was one of the best days on the golf course I've ever had. I mean, it's hard to describe what it was like out there because it was such mayhem, and you know, the crowds, and every time Tiger made a birdie, it was just crazy. And yeah, it was just, you know, to make those two birdies on 12 and 13, and I really felt like I was in the mix going down 14. And yeah, it was an interesting day. It was great though.
The crowds came across on TV, actually. They did look different to a lot of weeks. And you mentioned, like, they go wild every time Tiger makes a birdie. He made 8 of them. So you must be really conscious he's doing something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the biggest crowd I've ever seen on the golf course, apart from that tournament in Phoenix. But it was different than that. It was just, like I said, hard to describe. And, like, yeah, every time Tiger made a birdie, like when we were on the 11th, Justin Thomas had about an 8-footer to go into the lane, and they changed the scoreboard just before he hit his putt, and the crowd literally erupted, and he had to back off his putt for about 2 minutes because they just wouldn't stop cheering. And then he rolled it in afterwards as well. It was one of the maddest things I've ever seen.
Does that get you buzzed up? Does that get you sharp? Does that get you focused? Like, did you love it?
Yeah, like, to be honest, the whole day goes very quick when you're out there. You're just kind of on autopilot and trying to do everything as slow as I can and as deliberate as I can to stay in the moment or whatever. But you're kind of trying to take it all in as well, because I mean, like, it's such a special place to be as well, and I'm lucky to be there, and you know, I enjoyed it as much as I could.
Yeah, 100%. I guess you're probably turning to your brother on the bag and saying, it's not usually like this. You're getting a good week here, buddy. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were in Reno the week before, and it was two men and a dog out watching. So it was a bit different. And we had a great time. And we finished after a round, and Alan, we're sitting in the locker room, and Alan said, like, that was one of the maddest experiences of his life. It was one of those days where, you know, you'll always kind of remember and talk about.
I've no doubt. And I saw on Instagram you said your dad was walking the fairways with you. So that's going to be a good Christmas memory when you're all sitting around the table. What an amazing thing for you to have him walking alongside you as well.
He actually wasn't supposed to come. And then when Alan was kind of caddy for me, we said, like I said to him, you might as well come over because it might never happen again or whatever. Mm. And then we just had such a good week, the three of us together. And you know, to be in there with a show on Sunday and have him there, he was obviously one of the proudest men out there, and you know, he loved every minute of it as well. And you know, we had a great week all around. Obviously, I still, you know, even though it was a great week, I still think it was you know, a little bit disappointing with the finish, but look, I really enjoyed it, and I have a lot of positives to take from it as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You talked there about trying to slow things down in the midst of all the mayhem. I mean, it was slowed down for you quite a bit in 16. There were some rule officials lacking some balls, I think was the quote. That was a bit of a mess, really. You don't expect that to happen at a major. Your only option was to drop near a tree from the hospitality, and then in the end it seemed you just said, sod this, I'm going to play from where I was.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said in the end. And like, I believe I seen afterwards that the CBS guys were giving me a bit of stick for holding up Justin Thomas.
They were, yeah.
And I'm not sure they realised that I was actually playing the tournament as well, but yeah, look, I mean, it was a bit of a mess, to be honest. And I still think when I talked about it afterwards and talked about it to a couple of people, I should have got relief and I would have had an easier chip. Now, I'm not saying I definitely would have made par, but I did make a great up and down for bogey. If I had made double there, I think it would have been a lot different and I would have had a lot more to say. But it was kind of a spot where I was going to struggle to make par anyway. But if I had got my drop, I probably would have had a good chance at it as opposed to having to go down for bogey. But look, I said what I said afterwards and I stick to it. I think, like I said, they didn't man up and they didn't make the decision and that's what they're there to do. And I mean, it was just a bit of a, you know, it wasn't nice and, you know, we had to wait around. Obviously, Justin had to wait around. And,
to be fair, he came out.
I was asked afterwards, was there any beef between us for what happened? I was like, why would that be? But,
That was the TV almost painting that picture because the CBS lads were like, geez, poor Justin here. Shane Lowry's really holding him up. That was the way they were almost presenting it to the audience. Yeah. But Thomas came out afterwards and totally said the rules officials dilly-dallied a bit there. They actually weren't making a decision.
Yeah, that's what they just wouldn't make a decision. And it was weird. It was probably, looking back on it, the weirdest thing that's probably happened to me where we were like, I spoke to Porrick afterwards, and anyone who knows Porrick knows that he knows the rules. And he said if he was there, he would have got the drop in the story. And that's kind of, that's the way it was. And, you know, I should have been firmer with them and I should have called for someone else. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to get on with it and I just wanted to finish my round. And, maybe I was a bit silly playing on. I should have waited.
Maybe, yeah. I guess it's tough. You want to keep some kind of rhythm, I presume, in those scenarios. So the net result, tied for 12. The pity about those two bogeys at the end. But the bigger picture is that you're kind of really chasing your card now and you've put together a great few weeks. So you're up to kind of 139 on the FedEx. You ideally want to get into 125. So you're at Greensboro this week. Jeez, you're not doing it the easy way. But
no.
A kind of a top five, top 10 finish gives you a real chance. It's a kind of complicated system, but you're kind of up against it again this week. But clearly you feel like your golf's suddenly come round. Is there any reason? Because like the last big quote we saw from you was maybe British Open, where, you know, all the headlines about, well, I'm not loving golf right now and golf doesn't love me. And obviously you ended things with Dermot around that time as well. And that was a great partnership for so long. What's the upswing? How do you explain it?
Obviously the last 3 weeks have been very good and I've finished, you know, I've top 15 in the last three events and I've contended at certain stages of each weekend. And look, I don't know 100% what the answer is or what it was, but having Alan on the bag obviously freshens it up a little bit, puts a lot more onus on myself and I think that has a little bit to do with it, but I'm slow enough to say that because Dermot was great to me for so long. And, you know, we had 9 years together, 9 successful years. And, it was kind of hard to finish that. And it was hard to kind of, it's almost like breaking up a marriage, you know, because it was going on for so long. And, it could have been, it could be that bit of freshness that I needed or something. And, like you say, I'm here at Wyndham this week now. I need a top 5 to keep my card over here. But look, no matter what happens this week, it's been a good few weeks. And I go home, albeit hopefully not next week. Hopefully we're going to New York to play in the first week of the FedEx Cup. But if I'm not, it'll be a successful 4 weeks. And I've found my form. I've found a bit of confidence again, which is huge. Like, I was seriously lacking confidence for most part of the season. And the last 3 weeks have been the first 3 weeks really where I haven't been sitting on the cut mark on Friday afternoon, and it's a lot easier to play golf when you're not on the cut mark. It's a lot easier to make birdies and hit good shots and you're not trying to steer it around and make pars and try and make the course. And I'll go out and give my best this week and see what happens.
Yeah, I can only imagine how difficult it is to play that sport at that level with not much confidence. It must be lovely to have it back. And one last one on Dermot. You talked there about, like, it is like a marriage and you had great years together. The moment of having to say to him, look, I think we kind of need to leave this or park this, I think that was horrific. And you knowing you were about to do it for maybe a few days or a few weeks, unbelievably stressful thing, you know, on top of everything else.
Yeah, look, it was. And it was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. So that's kind of all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to dive into it too much because, you know, I'm conscious of him and whatever, but it was one of the most difficult things that's ever had to happen. And it's funny, he's working for Julian Surrey for a couple of weeks and we're very nearly paired with him once.
Yeah.
So that would have been interesting, but look, it is what it is. We spoke a little bit last week and And we flew down, we were on a charter flight down here to Wyndham, and we sat beside each other on the plane and stuff. So we're still good friends, and you know, he's been very good to me and I've been good to him. So that's kind of the way we've left it.
Ah, that's brilliant. Because lots of caddy players, when that moment comes, they can't look at each other for a while. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's why we wanted to leave it. We wanted to leave it, you know, we spoke about it at the Open, and we wanted to leave it where we'd still remain friends, because we've had, like we said, 9 successful years together.
Yeah. Listen, I won't keep, because I know I'd say you're a bit tired, and I'd say it's a busy week, and I think you're going to have to practice now. So listen, the very best of luck. Hopefully the good form continues, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe. No problem.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.